This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. And 263 days ago, the Detroit Lions closed the book on Aaron Rodgers' storied career with the Green Bay Packers. Last night, not a great start for the incumbent, that being Jordan Love. How about a double-digit road win in division at Lambeau? The Lions now in sole possession of first place in the North since week two in 2017. An ass-whooping. 217 rush yards, 5 sacks, 2 picks. I'm going to tell you right now, Michael Lombardi just recently wrote a book. You should check it out. It's called Football Done Right. I think it was about last night's Thursday night kickoff to week four. 34-20, a clinic, boys, as we say hi and open up the show. I'm Patrick Maher of Football Friday. A lot to get to as we get going. A huge weekend in college football. Also a full slate, of course, an AFC East matchup. Dolphins and the Bills. Patrick Mahomes against, of course, the Jets defense. Taylor Swift's going to be in the house. Zeke Elliott against Dallas. We've got plenty to do as we open it up. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, downtown Las Vegas at the D. But we have to take a second to tip our caps to the boys in Honolulu blue and silver. And how about the big guy? 3-0-1 last night. The hot streak continues. Good job by you. Amal Shaw, what's going on this Friday?
Not much. I'll tell you what, that 34-20 score is not indicative of the game. It was much, much greater than that margin indicates. This Green Bay team with Jordan Love, I'll tell you what, you got two quarterbacks in this division that can't play. Justin Fields and Jordan Love, welcome to the party, guys. I mean, it was anemic watching this offense. They get that early turnover on the Jared Goff interception, Patrick. You thought, if you're Green Bay, what an opportunity. Home game, get the crowd into it. No. We're going to get 3 points. Our guy's going to start 1 for 5 for 9 yards, and it's going to be all downhill from there. And then on top of it, it wasn't just the ineptitude of the Green Bay offense, but how about the fact that this Detroit offense just carved up the Packers defense?
Yeah, I guess, and also, I don't know who put the G at Ford Field last night on the 50-yard line, but that sounded like the Lions' house. How about that? Lambeau was petite as far as the conversation, and it was all roar, Lions noise. The big guy, Dustin Sweetelson. A big night for him last night. And go to VSiN.com/picks to check him out as he continues the hot roll. And you had my Lions last night. Now, again, I wasn't going to be objective. I was way off on the under. I'll just say that, raise my hand. Of course, I'd like to bet the Lions. I'd like to hand out the Lions. But if I do, it comes with no objectivity. So good job by you backing my boys.
Your quarterback, Jared Goff, is now the most profitable signal caller since 2017. He is 60-40-2 ATS. The Lions own the North. They are the kings of the North, 11-0 run versus NFC North opponents. And finally, Dan Campbell, as the Lions head coach, the franchise is 26-12 ATS. That is 68%, with Dan Campbell leading the way. If I were to ask you this question, Patrick, if something was restored with your franchise, what would you say has been restored with the Lions?
I think it's the roar, big guy, the roar. It was a clinic. My buddy Matt Derry said it. A clinic in the first half. Good job by you. Looked like the Lions coaching staff knew exactly scheme-wise what Green Bay was running on both sides of the ball. It also helps that the left tackle that was filling in there was a swinging gate as the Lions constantly had pressure on Jordan Love, who didn't look big time. We're going to have Samich come on and tell us why exactly that happened. Look forward to that. Big Mike coming up in just a bit.
I'll tell you
where, you know, I thought maybe the Lions might be legit, like kind of a moment in time. And it was last night, early in the fourth quarter. You guys will remember Jordan Love, the 9-yard touchdown run. The 2-point failed, but that pulled the game early with a quarter to go in the fourth there to 27-17. So Green Bay right back in it, back at home. And then Amal, the very next drive, the Lions go 14 plays, 75 yards, almost 9 minutes off the clock, and a touchdown, 34-17. That was the ball game. That's a big-time answer from a team that for decades and decades has never had an answer.
You're absolutely right about it. I thought that was really impressive. Had the 2-point conversion been converted, then you would have had game pressure on the Detroit Lions. But even still without it, they go right down the field And Goff wasn't overwhelmingly great with that INT early on, but I thought this team played well. And just the effectiveness of David Montgomery, who didn't get off to a flying start. First 10 carries, he's got 27 yards. And then things get going in the right direction. He winds up with 32 for 121, a nice job overall. But to me, the play calling, and just you look at this offense, the efficiency, this team is really, really good. By the way, I think you had LaPorta over 3.5 catches.
I did not. No.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I had Josh Reynolds.
Josh Reynolds. But
Scott Spreitzer came on and gave out LaPorta on Wednesday.
Yeah, and that one hits as well. But to me, Patrick, really the hallmark of this team is, number one, they've got a great pass rush. We're seeing it. I remember there was a play, it might have been the fourth quarter. Aiden Hutchinson had an opportunity for a sack. He misses it. Somebody else comes in and cleans it up. Hutch was so mad because it was like a gift sack he should have had. He would have 9 out of 10 times. That was the one time he misses it. But when you look at this Detroit team, guys, I know it's early. We're only in week 4 for Detroit, 13 games remaining, same for the Packers. But, guys, I'm here to tell you the NFC North and the NFC West, they are over. They are over. The Detroit Lions have won this division. I'm telling you right now, what, Justin Fields is going to rescue this 0-3 Bears team? No shot. The Minnesota Vikings, 0-3? No shot. When you look at the Green Bay Packers with Jordan Love, get the hell out of here. I mean, one of the wins came against the Bears. There's no competition for Detroit. They are the far superior team in this division.
They were favorites coming into the year. We can throw them up there. DraftKings right now, $2.05 favorites for the Lions. The Packers plus +330. The Vikings, as Amal mentioned, 0-3, 6-1. The Bears, 25-1. Matt LaFleur, the Packer head coach, we're going to get to both LaFleur and, of course, the kneecap. We're going to get to them in just a little bit. But LaFleur called it very humbling and embarrassing. 43 carries for the Lions, 211 rush yards. We mentioned that Ole offensive line. That front from Green Bay never stood a chance. 5 sacks, 8 tackles for losses for the Lions last night. You know, it all started with a Goff interception on the first drive, and then all of a sudden the Lions are trailing 3-0, but the Lions proceeded, big guy, to put up 27 straight points. They pounded them with that offensive line. Montgomery, 32 carries off the injury, 121 yards, 3 touchdowns in total. Goff was solid, didn't have to be great. The defense was great. You know, I mentioned the rush yards from Green Bay, just 27 on the ground for the Packers. They just took care of business. That's 4 straight over the Green Bay Packers. Growing up, we never beat the Packers. And 2 straight at Lambeau. It's about as impressed as I've been. A 21-20 win to open the season at Kansas City on Thursday. Okay, a little bit of a hangover from the champs. I didn't really go nuts there. For some reason, even against a subpar team, and let's be clear, the Packers were banged up. This is a bad football team.
Okay.
Like, they're going to get healthy on the offensive line. Okay. I understand that, but it's not a very good defense. They can't stop the run. I understand they're going to get healthy in the secondary. But if you take that first Thursday night game for the Lions, okay, they beat the champs. Game 1, week 1, we'll put that over here. I thought last night, as we start to get into the rhythm of a season, Dustin Swedelson, that's about as impressive as the Lions have been in years.
Well, as someone, you were very skeptical about the hype surrounding your team just because they've let you down your entire life. And in fact, they've let your father down most of his entire life as well. So I understand being skeptical. What happened last night was they proved that this team is built different. Their mindset is different. The roster is different. And I think that's the biggest thing you can take away. Look, their only loss was to Seattle in overtime. They played a terrible second half, and they blew a lead in that one. They really should be 4-0 at this point. Fine 3-1. And how many times did the Packers take advantage of the Lions in your lifetime where the Lions had injuries or a weaker roster? You take the wins as you can get them in front of you, and this is what good teams do when they get over the hump. They beat the teams they're supposed to beat along the way. They don't let up against a team like Green Bay that's dealing with a ton of injuries. And I think what also spoke volumes, not just beating a team that you're supposed to on Thursday Night Football for Detroit, I think rebounding off that early interception was massive. On the road in Lambeau Field to come back, trail 3-0 after the first turnover of the game, and to respond like that, I just think that is such a winning mentality for a team. And what's even more impressive about the whole thing, guys, they're doing it without even using the number 12 overall pick in the draft.
Yeah, they don't like Jahmyr Gibbs. They pretended on the broadcast like they're obsessed with him. Yeah, prove it. You wasted the 12th overall pick. And as my niece Ava would say, facts no printer to what you just said. I look, I'll put it in context because oftentimes, you know, hyperbolically, people will say, oh, like you'll complain about the Mets because that's what people do. That's they just jump on the bandwagon of, oh, woe is me. I'm a Jets fan. We haven't done fill in the blank. Woe is me. I'm the Mets. We haven't done blank. My dad isn't a spring chicken. He's 72 and he's seen one playoff win. Okay, like just pause for a second. I know we're a betting network. We've got plenty of games to get to, but I need you to think about that ineptitude for a second and why Lions fan fill in the blank with, well, they're the Lions. He's a 72-year-old human being. Hopefully he's got 10 good years to go. He's seen one playoff win. Let it sink in. Let it sink in, Amal Shaw.
And that was what, 31 years ago? Was that
92?
Yeah, against the Cowboys, that 38-6 game.
And barely tickled with, like, any teases along the way.
Yeah, exactly.
Turned around and got that ass whipped by Washington the next week. I remember. Maybe it was 91, 92, whatever it was. It's just think about that. A 72-year-old man's been watching a league that is 50-50 jump ball literally every year. And he's seen one playoff win. What a pathetic franchise. Let's go back to talking about how pathetic they are. Who cares about the 34-20 clinic over the Packers last night? How can you have one win in 72 years? Whatever.
But there's a group of teams and fan bases that deserve a tip of the cap. The Buffalo Bills, the Cleveland Browns, the Minnesota Vikings, the Chicago Bears, the Detroit Lions. The Chiefs got good in the last 5 years. But these are some teams. Now, I know Minnesota's had some pretty decent years in there, but these are some teams that have been suffering for a long, long time. And by the way, who in the NFL office hates the Detroit Lions because they've got two Thursday night games this year, the Thanksgiving traditional game, and they had to play yesterday, and they'll play that return trip
against the Packers. They opened last Thursday, too.
Well, that you have time before the season, right? But, I mean, two Thursdays?
A lot of Honolulu blue and silver at Lambeau, fellas. It was good to see. A double-digit road win at Lambeau? Crazy. We'll come back and hear from the coaches next and what's next for these two teams.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. You can research every NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Stop betting in the dark. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com. And use the code WINNER. You get 50% off your first month today. Start researching. Start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. We got you back here, Sharp Money. I'm Patrick Maher, of course. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, live from the D as we say hi. Max Brown is going to join us. Pac-12 Network does a great job at MaxBrown4 on Twitter. And I believe he's ready to go. We got a big tilt coming up tonight in the Pac-12. Okay, go ahead, big guy. He's not quite ready.
No, not yet. Miscommunication okay. On my part.
Well, no, it's all good. Don't worry about it. We do, by the way, Amal, have for a Friday night. I don't know. I know you guys are fired up about Oregon State last week, but this Utah-Oregon State matchup. So it's gone through, again, this was a point-and-a-half opener, and we've got a ton of college to get to. The boys both sent me over a million plays today, so we'll get to as many as we possibly can. I think for good reason we've jumped up to four off the one-and-a-half opener, just because so many questions, Amal, as far as Utah, specifically with Cam Rising.
Yeah, absolutely right. Whether Rising can go or not, but the young kid, Nate Johnson, I'll tell you what, he's got some good speed. You mentioned it earlier in the week. When you look at the fact that this team has been decimated by injuries, could play a profound role in this game. However, Utah is one of these teams where it's next man up every time.
Okay. We bring in Max Brown, of course, Pac-12. And we were just discussing, Max, a great Friday night matchup for the network and for the Pac-12, which is the best conference in football this year. Shout to the Pac-12. Utah, Oregon State. Let's get into this matchup. A lot of questions, Max, for Utah as far as injuries, but I can't wait for this one tonight.
First off, love how we're just no hedge saying Pac-12, best conference in college football. I was just on a radio show 30 minutes ago, same exact thing. It's what a time to be alive, where the best conference is the one that is falling apart after this year. But no, loaded matchup tonight and Friday night. I think Reser Stadium in Corvallis at Oregon State on a Friday night is going to be in an electric atmosphere. I've played there on Friday nights. Those fans get up. They have a brand new stadium too, for listeners that might not be aware. So I think that's going to be phenomenal. A little orange out up there. I'll be paying attention to who takes the first snap for Utah. It's another week, and another week where we're looking at some quarterback uncertainty for the Utes. I think this game could very well come down to whether or not Cam Rising does play. I think I like the Beavs in this one. If it is, if it's not Cam Rising, if Cam Rising does play, that's where things get interesting.
Mac, a couple of things. USC has traditionally struggled going up to Reser Stadium. For people that are unfamiliar with it, one of the smaller venues in the Power Five, what is it that makes it so difficult about Corvallis? And tell me, despite the loss against Washington State, what do you like about Jonathan Smith's team to do to be able to bounce back in this one?
Yeah, well, on the most basic level, they sell the stadium out for sure. So at least they did when USC comes to town, and I'm sure they'll do the same thing with Utah on a Friday night. But I think, you know, Beav fans have a certain chip on their shoulder where it's us against the world. I think that's even more so nowadays, just given the outcomes of conference realignment. And it's just, it's a cool venue. It's a smaller stadium, but it's still built with a top deck. So it still feels like you're in a legitimate stadium, yet it has the sound. It feels more intimate, I guess, than some of the large stadiums. And as a result, you're able to pack a heavy dose of sound and noise in there. And then I actually don't know if this is still the case with the new stadium build out, but in the old stadium build out, the visiting locker room was not connected to the stadium. So you had like a small walk to enter the stadium. So it was much more not Virginia Tech-esque, but similar in the sense of you having to like walk into the arena of battle, which gave it a cool flair. But yeah, in terms of what I like about Oregon State, I do think their offense is better than last year. I know right now there's still questions about, all right, you know, how good can this offense can be? It struggled a little bit last week. We know where things at, but it's still a better offense than last year. Love their ability to run the ball. The number that sticks out to me though is DJ Uiagalelei completion percentage is 57% this year. I think needs to be in the high 60s, low 70s for this offense to really get cooking. This offense is not built to throw the ball around the park all game long. This offense is built to be balanced, built to run the rock. And then when you pass the rock, you have to be efficient. And so far, Oregon State has not been that way through the air.
Max Brown, of course, Pac-12 network analyst, USC quarterback, Pittsburgh quarterback. Speaking of USC, so Oregon put on a display against Colorado. Your former team heads to Boulder. You know, not necessarily overly impressive last week for USC. What are your expectations with this matchup there in Colorado?
Yeah, I was actually kind of glad the game happened the way it did last week. I think it was a wake-up call for USC. I think it was kind of a shake your system a little bit and wake up kind of deal. And I spoke with Lincoln Riley on Monday, and I think, you know, obviously, you know, he wants to win every game, but the idea that they were going to repeat the Stanford performance from a week earlier where the starters barely even played in the second half, Caleb Williams didn't even play in the second half, like that's unrealistic. That's not real life college football. To go on the road versus an Arizona State team that, hey, when USC comes to town, you know, that's their Super Bowl. And to not play your best football, especially offensively, come out with that win and offensively score, what, nearly 40 points. And we're talking about that being an off game for Caleb Williams. I just think that shows you, one, how good Caleb Williams is, two, the ceiling that this USC offense can tap into. And I just had a feeling, because I've been in that locker room or at least similar locker rooms in the past, and the fact, like, they still have a lot of transfers there and that hadn't played in the second half this so far this season. And to find yourself in the fourth quarter looking around being like, hey, we gotta go to work here. I think that was a good kind of glue game, so to speak, for that USC team. And that's all that to say, I think they walk into Colorado with a bit of their chip on their shoulder. Don't forget, Lincoln Riley had to approve that kickoff time for tomorrow at 11 a.m. Well, the reason he approved it, I think the biggest reason is he wants that national spotlight. He wants that prime TV window right there to put a message on for the country, because Oregon had that opportunity last week. Now everyone was talking about Oregon and Bo Nix. Washington had that a little bit 2 weeks earlier with Michigan State. Now I feel like it's USC's turn to say, hey, don't forget that we're a top 10 team, and don't forget we have the best player in college football on our team.
Tremendous betting nugget from Max Brown right there, Amal Shaw, with the approval of the kickoff time. That is what we need. Thank you very much. Go ahead, Amal.
I love it. Absolutely. By the way, Max, you're a former quarterback. Give me, from your perspective, the best offensive unit in the league right now. We've been going back and forth on this one. Washington, USC, Oregon's playing extremely well. Hell, nobody's talking about Cam Warden, what the job he's doing up on the Palouse. Tell me who's playing the best ball from the first 4 weeks from your perspective and which team can sustain it.
I'm going to double dip here just based off how you asked that question. I think who is playing the best right now is Washington. Who is the best, like referring to top-end ability,
yep.
I think it's USC, because I don't think USC's tapped into that. One of the most, I think, hidden gems in Pac-12 football this year is Marshawn Lloyd, USC's running back. Brian Ward, Arizona State's defensive coordinator, who was the defensive coordinator at Washington State last year, and Washington State was one of the best defenses in the Pac-12. He went on record this week saying Marshawn Lloyd's the best running back I've seen in the Pac-12 the past 2 years. The Pac-12's had the likes of Zach Charbonnet and, you know, some good running backs. Those are strong words. And Marshawn Lloyd is an afterthought when you are scheming for this USC offense. That shows you the talent that they have. Zachariah Branch, you can make the argument, the most electrifying player in college football with the ball in his hands. They haven't even fully unlocked him yet. And, oh, by the way, you have Caleb Williams, the Heisman Trophy winner. This offense is dangerous, and I've alluded to it twice on this call already, but it was a sloppy performance last week, yet they're putting up nearly 40 points just like it's another day at the office. So to me, top end wise, I think it's USC.
Max, last question, just a minute here. We talk about situation in sports betting. Notre Dame, after the brutal loss in primetime, headed to Duke. Are we overrating, as sports bettors, the situation that Notre Dame's in emotionally, or is that fair to say this is a very tough spot for them?
Interesting. What's the line there?
5.5.
The line is 5.5. Notre Dame is favored at Duke.
That's interesting. I do not think you're overplaying that, and I'll make sure I'm prefacing my answer correctly, but I do think that, you know, Notre Dame walks away from last week pissed off, and Marcus Freeman pissed off at the narratives now that, hey, it was a coaching lapse with two guys that didn't go on the field. I think that chip on the shoulder exists. I think they look at what Duke did to Clemson and said, hey, they snuck up on a different team. And I think Notre Dame's fine big picture wise, but I would not, I would expect them to handle their business. And I do think that emotional factor for the Irish is a real factor.
Max, you got a hell of a future, man. Did a great job. At MaxBrown4 on Twitter, Pac-12 Network Analyst. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you soon, Max. Thank you.
Appreciate it, fellas. Thanks.
Great call on Marshawn Lloyd. That kid's a beast.
Well, I liked him in the SEC, trust me.
South Carolina guy.
College football. Thank you.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, bet smarter with Juice Reel. That's Juice, R-E-E-L, in the App Store. Juice Reel is not a sports book. It's a tool to help you beat the books. Juice Reel connects all of your sports betting accounts into one app, loads all of your betting history, gives you an analytical edge, and it's backed by nearly $1 billion in bets from sports bettors in all 50 states. You can use the data to follow the winners and fade the losers. Don't place another bet until you've downloaded this revolutionary sports betting tool. It's called Juice Reel. That's juice, like orange juice, reel, R-E-E-L. It's absolutely free. You can download Juice Reel to your iPhone or Android device right now to become a better bettor. So I'm just getting this forwarded to me. We're going to get to Clemson, Syracuse in just a bit as we welcome you back. Happy Football Friday. I'm Patrick Maher, of course, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. Dustin, you just sent this over to me. It has to do with the NFL and sports betting. I didn't have a chance to conceptualize. You want to tell me what it says here?
Yeah, so the NFL has updated its gambling policy. So now if you bet on NFL games not involving your team as a player, it's at least a 1 year suspension. If it involves your team, the bets, it's a minimum 2 year suspension. Betting on non-NFL games and team facility, 2 games for the first violation, 6 games for the second, and at least 1 year for the third. Attempting to fix games, you are banished from the NFL.
All right. Big news. NFL, NFLPA have agreed to the following rules that Dustin just laid out for you. Use your dome piece, boys. That's what I would say. Jameson Williams and others, just be smart about it. There's a lot of vices out there. They don't turn into vices unless you abuse them. It's pretty simple. Okay, and if you need to get some help, go get some help. That's all I'd say. Okay, let's get back to the betting. Speaking of which, Clemson and Syracuse. How about this one? The board's lighting up right now. Clemson's laying 7 at Syracuse. Syracuse, of course, 4-0. They've scored. Dino Babers, a good offensive mind. They scored 29-plus in every game this year. And listen, Amal, we've talked about it ad nauseum. Clemson's not going to be surprised by the orange on Saturday. Now, Clemson has won 5 straight against Syracuse, but 3 of those games were decided by just one score, including each of the last 2 meetings. The under, by the way, fellas, has cashed in 6 of the last 7 meetings. Clemson 2-2, reeling off a game they should have won at home against Florida State. Now they travel to a dome, which is a freaking dump, where they've had issues. Shout to Kelly Bryant back in the day on a Thursday night, I believe, losing at Syracuse. What do you got, boys?
Well, first of all, this is a bad spot for Clemson. You're coming off an emotional overtime loss at home that you probably should have had. Now you're realistically out of contention for the ACC crown. When you come to Clemson, guys, you expect to be competing for college football playoffs and national championships. That's not going to be the case this year. How does this team respond? That's the big question mark. You talked about the Syracuse team. For whatever reason, Dino Babers has figured out the formula to be competitive against this Clemson team. They've done a great job of it over the years, including that upset which you alluded to. Last year, they lose a tight game. I think it was like 27-21 in that matchup. Now you're catching 7 here at the Dome. Grant Schrader's been terrific overall for this Syracuse team. And, guys, I think the one thing that goes overlooked with Syracuse right now is the offensive prowess in terms of putting up points. Top 10 in college football in terms of scoring offense. They've done a great job. Let's see if they can do that against a much more complete defensive team when you look at what the Clemson Tigers are going to present. On the flip side, the Syracuse defense has done a pretty nice job. Now, they haven't played any elite offenses, Purdue being the best one so far. They did a great job of making second-half adjustments against Army. They were struggling in the first half of that game. If they can slow down the running game of Will Shipley and Phil Maffa, I think they've got a great chance to negate what Cade Klubnik does. Guys, he just seems like another guy at quarterback. I'm not saying his career can't ascend, but right now when you look at him, no way am I laying 7 on the road with Clemson here. I would take the orange and 7, home field advantage in the dome. I like this spot here for Syracuse in this matchup.
Big guy, what do you got?
Yeah, I've got a bet on the first half. I'm taking Syracuse plus 3 and a hook in the first half. Syracuse 3-0-1 ATS this year. They've won the first half 3 of their last 4 home games against ACC opponents. 9th right now with 508 yards per game on offense. They only allow 89 yards per game on the ground, which ranks 21st. When you factor in the fact that they played Army, that's even more impressive for me. Clemson's failed to cover the spread in 10 of its last 12 September games against non-ranked teams. And off their last loss in overtime, it was back in 21, they lost to NC State, then beat Boston College at home 19-13, low-scoring game. They only led 13-6 at the half against Boston College. Syracuse, going back to 2017, has had the lead in 3 of their 6 matchups against the Tigers. I'm going to go Syracuse first half because my fear is in the second half, they take the ball out of Klubnik's hands and they start relying on that elite run game for Clemson, and that's when things could get away. So I think Syracuse can get up at home in the dome. Clemson may be a little bit down off that loss and they could catch him in the first half.
Good. Good. I got one play here. I mentioned 6 of the last 7 have gone under.
Yeah.
I look for this matchup to go under. The Syracuse defense, now they haven't really played anybody, but it seems to be legit. And Clemson, to Amal's point on Klubnik, who is a 5-star kid, he looks like a 2.5-star kid. They have yet to put together a good or an outstanding offensive performance this year. 53.5. For 2 offenses, look, this Clemson defense, we can talk about the offense all we want. The Clemson defense is legit. So this is the big test for Syracuse this year. I like the under 53.5 if you can find it.
I agree with you completely. When you look at this Clemson defense, they gave up 28 points. 1 came on a return against Duke, short field, turnovers, all of those things. And I think the 53.5 is the most salient play here. They have never scored more than 23 points in their last 5 matchups against this Clemson defense. Patrick is absolutely right. As much as I like seven here, I think the best play is to take the under. I'll tell you, if you want to do a parlay, how about Syracuse plus seven and under 53? Because if this is a higher scoring game, I think Syracuse is in some trouble anyway.
There you go. Okay, I will suggest Dustin Sweetelson, Amal Shaw, and those paying attention to Sharp Money right now, the market is up. Comeback player of the year, DeMar Hamlin, is minus 200. Get over there and bet it. Because breaking news, Jordan Poyer, safety for the Bills, has been ruled out. The expectation is DeMar Hamlin is going to make his season debut against the Dolphins. Okay? So Hamlin, who had the heart issues, obviously cardiac arrest on the field last year against the Bengals, said he's set to be back and ready to do it coming up against the Dolphins. If he plays a snap, the assumption is he's going to win comeback player of the year. Right now, you're laying $2 to win a dollar, boys. Probably a pretty good bet.
Yeah, I would agree with you here. I think DeMar Hamlin's just the prohibitive odds-on favorite here. You know, the one thing that bothers me, not taking anything away from Hamlin, but I got to tell you, to me, what John Mechie's overcome is every bit as difficult, if not more difficult, just going through chemotherapy along the way and everything that's come along with it. I'm not trying to dismiss or diminish what he went through, but I just can't believe he's this much of a favorite. But you're right, he's going to probably win the award.
Only Amal Shaw there? Would parse between cancer and death.
The point. Listen, hey, let me tell you something. We're looking at it from a betting standpoint.
It's terrible.
Any other year, John Mechie wins the award, which is why I bet it.
I tell you this. I'd rather have a heart attack and somebody resuscitate me than go through chemotherapy.
Look, I'm not arguing with either.
You wake up, you're like, what's popping?
Exactly. Hey, what's going on?
With cancer, it's every single day. Yeah, exactly. Hamlin just woke up with it. He's like, dude, that was a wild ride, but I'm good. I want to be very clear. I'm not minimizing either. Okay. Just to keep my job here. I certainly am not minimizing. But this is a betting market. I think it's surprising. Let me just refresh here. I think it's pretty cool that DraftKings has kept this market up.
Well, it was down a few days ago he was like 125 minus 125. So like there was an opportunity to get in on it then. I was just wondering if he was ever going to play, and I liked my long shot on Mechie, but that's over with. That's not winning. If he plays one snap, he's winning the award.
It's only $2, so $2 to win a dollar right now. My goodness, everybody's running with these gambling rules updated. The Lions did you guys see that J-Mo Williams did get his ban reduced?
Yeah.
So it looks like, and I'm trying to find, it went from 6 to 5, didn't it, boys? I'm sorry. I'm just trying to find it here while we take a look at the gambling.
Yeah, mine does that when it's cold. It goes from 6 to 5.
But by the way, real quick, that's the one point we have not made about this team. If Gibbs, the first-round pick, gives them something, and if Jameson Williams is able to come in and contribute, I think this team's going to be, watch out.
So stupid. Oh, so stupid. Oh, my goodness. You know, yeah, 6-game suspension. He's set to return for week 5. So, look, the joke that Dustin just laid out, I'd like to say this because he is a friend. The 6 to 5 when it gets cold joke, all that aside, you can fade him all you want. He told me this morning, and I went and looked. I just want to give the guy props. He's been on a historic run over at VSiN.com with the picks. What did you tell me over the last week the numbers are right now?
It's 19-7-3 over my last 30 bets.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Not bad.
Honestly, it's hope for anyone. If I can do it, any idiot can figure it out.
So I feel like when you make a joke about your member, I have to jump in. Amal Shaw, he's got to be betting Dortmund. Because
100%.
I'm thinking he cleared a goal and a half. Is that what it is?
No, I just had him on plus money on the three-way, and it's over now.
Okay, congratulations. We had Dortmund covering, a Dustin penis joke, and a run that he's on over at VSiN.com/picks. What a show.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw. VSiN, the sports betting network.
Anybody notice how Dustin said VP picks with an extra spring in his step? Go ahead, big guy. You want to tell us about the VP picks? Why am I asking you to do so? Because you've been hot as all get out. VSiN.com/subscribe. Go ahead.
19-7-4 run last 7 days. My last 30 bets there. I'm not even that good at math, but I can figure that one out, that it's 30 bets. It's a pretty good run. And you can get all the picks from every single show here at VSiN at VSiN.com/picks. Become a member. Introductory offer right now for $19. VSiN.com/subscribe. And you can see all of the picks from every single show we have here.
We're going to run the board week four every Friday here on Sharp Money. The four of us, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Of course, Mike Somich, VSiN host, RacingDudes.com for your horse racing news. And Mike Somich does a great job over at VSiN.com as well. Today, he wrote up a great article. You should really go check it out, kind of extrapolating more on what we're going to discuss here. But you talk about a half a point and what it means to each number in the NFL. There's a couple of points you want to make that you weren't able to make in the article, but it's an article that is well worth investing in if you're a sports bettor of any level. Go check it out. It's VSiN.com. But go ahead and let's start with the genesis, the idea for the article, and then get in some of the finer points here, Mike.
Yeah, it was interesting. I was actually watching Ahsoka on Disney Plus. That came out on Tuesday, and one of the lines in there was, "Impatience for victory will guarantee defeat." And that kind of just resonated with me right away on the sports betting side, because three of the most important things that you need as a profitable sports bettor is really patience, discipline, and timing. It's all about when you enter the market, what number you get, and understanding that sometimes passing is as good as playing something. And so I kind of took that line and broke down, okay, let's look at the NFL. Let's look at how often you see numbers fall in specific spreads. So I pulled out every number, every ending margin between 1 point and 8 points and put the percentage there. And then went from plus 100 to minus 135 and what win percentage that you need to be able to be profitable over the long term. And at minus 110, you have to be right around 53% to be profitable. At minus 135, you have to be right around 57, 58%. So significantly better just to be profitable. Now, if you want to actually be able to bet for a living, you need to be 3% better than that. So 55% around minus 110 and around 60 to 61% at minus 135. Why are those specific numbers important? Because that's the difference of buying on and off three, which is by far the most common number that you're going to find. About 15% of NFL games land right on three. And that half point is wildly important when you're looking at 2.5 and 3.5 specifically. So buying off of that three number, most sports books are going to charge you 25 cents now. So that's that minus 110 to minus 135. And for me, a key to this is understanding the opportunity cost lost if you have availability to that number and then it disappears. So a good example, when I wrote this article, now that's changed a little bit, we'll get into it in a second, was Cleveland, which was minus 2.5 this week against Baltimore, and you had availability to that number for 4 to 5 days. At any point, you could play Cleveland under that 2.5. It flipped to 3 this morning, and once it goes to 3, yeah, you can bet 3 minus 110, but you're actually playing it at that point as a minus 135 because you had availability to that 2.5 the entire time. So it's the opportunity cost lost of playing that minus 2.5 at minus 110 versus playing the minus 3 at minus 110. So for me in that situation, you got to understand, look, it's okay to just pass the game if it's moved on to a number. I had Cleveland before the Deshaun Watson news we got earlier today covering that 2.5 about 56% of the time. That's a profitable bet when you're getting under the three number. But as soon as it goes to three, you lose that profitability because you're now paying that implied 135 juice versus playing the minus 110. So you got to be patient. You got to jump in when you get that number that you want. And you got to be okay with passing it if that number never shows up or if you miss that number. Because over the long run, that's going to make you a profitable bettor versus someone who is losing that half point, losing that potential that you originally had when that better number was available.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say, fantastic breakdown. And I'll tell you what, for folks that have not seen the article yet, one thing I love that you did in there, Mike, was you talk about how much 52.38 at minus 110, minus 115, what percentage you need to be at. It gives a good indicator and a good learning tool. Even people that are experienced, Patrick, I don't think enough people take into account, the pricing and what it means and the variables on that. It's such a critical part. Mike does a great job of really laying it out.
Yeah, for visual learners, I think the idea of a half point and the value to each number, if you're a visual learner, there's a graph there as well, so you can go check it out, vsin.com. Tremendous work and study. And Disney Plus getting a lot of run on the show today. because you being inspired by a Disney show to write that article for VSiN.com, that's a good job by you.
Hey, you got to find inspiration where you can. And you know, I'm trying to put out one article a week, which is more around the mechanics of betting. And sometimes you're watching something or listening to something, reading something that has absolutely nothing to do with betting, but you're able to pull out a point from it. And to me, again, that one line just stuck out. The impatience for victory will guarantee defeat. You got to be patient. You got to be disciplined. That's what it's selling. And that is two of the most important things in betting is being disciplined and being patient. Make sure you wait for the right number and be okay passing if it doesn't come up.
I'll give you an example of something I saw this week that had nothing to do with sports betting, but made me think of sports betting. And it's Mike McDaniel, his quote about his offense there with the Dolphins. And here is the quote, quote, "We're going to do the opposite of what everybody else is doing. That's the only way to innovate. When designing an offense, you should break the rules of what was previously coaches have taught." So again, breaking the rules of what was taught previously. If you're following the rules, the defense has the advantage. You can subtract defense and add the house in that quote. And I think there's something to that. The books have the advantage when you're following the rules or following the herd. And when I read that quote from Mike McDaniel, the offensive genius there with the Dolphins, I guess I shouldn't call him a genius quite yet, but dropping 70 on the Broncos is interesting. We're going to run the board coming up in just a bit. And speaking of dropping 70 on the Dolphins, were you guys surprised, Amal, I'll start with you, that Peyton, who is impetuous at times, didn't make a decision on the defensive coordinator? It is always odd when your defensive coordinator used to coach the team. You've run out of bullets if you're coming back to the team to coach the defense, and that's exactly what Vance Joseph did.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. I don't know if one game necessarily you want to make a decision, a hasty decision on that, and you're three games into the season. But I think if you start to see this thing go in this direction, then you could see a change. The one other thing I would look at, whenever you're potentially looking at someone getting fired, a coordinator or even a head coach, when is a team's bye week? And I don't think Denver's got one coming up for quite a while. So just pay attention to this if you're looking at this Denver defense and where they're headed with Vance Joseph as the defensive coordinator.
Hey, yeah, Samich,
we're getting to the point.
Go ahead, please.
We're getting to the point where Denver might want to be terrible at defense. I mean, they've got no shot at winning this division. The 0-3 start makes it very unlikely for them to make the playoffs. We know Peyton is not a huge Russell Wilson guy. They wouldn't mind having a high draft pick this year.
No, 100%. We're going to run the board. That being the NFL week 4 coming up in the next segment. We'll take it into the last segment as well. Is there anything college-wise you wanted to touch on before we do run the NFL board, including, obviously, tonight you got a couple of good matchups. Louisville's at NC State. Right now the number is 3.5 with Louisville laying it. And then big questions as far as the health, Cam Rising and others for Utah. Oregon State, I did just see a shot, by the way. It was 4 everywhere. I just saw a shot go to Oregon State 3.5. Not sure what that means. I'm just putting it out there. Is there anything college-wise you wanted to touch on here, Mike?
You can find some threes out there with Louisville. If you can find a -3, again, goes back to the patience and timing here. I think it's worth playing Louisville -3. I'm down on this NC State team. Not a big Brandon Armstrong fan. Louisville should have a lot of success running the football tonight. I think they cover that 3. I also like BYU on the money line tonight. Cincinnati coming to town there. BYU should be absolutely rocking. I couldn't find the last time Cincinnati played at altitude. I think that's going to be a big factor in this game, especially in the second half. I think Cincy's a little bit overrated as well. BYU, we've seen flip to favoritism today. You were catching as much as 2 yesterday. Right now you can get the money line. I think it's sitting anywhere -115, -120. Shop that around. But I do like BYU on the money line tonight. And if you can find a 3, if one appears at your book, I like Louisville laying the 3 tonight as well.
And Patrick, real quick, to Mike's point on Cincinnati, Emory Jones has thrown 4 picks in his last 2 games. I mean, this is exactly who we thought he was when he was at Florida, and I don't think that much is going to change tonight in Provo.
Okay. Big guy, you've got 1.5 minutes. I know you've got bets that you haven't given out that you're eager to do so, so feel free and fire away.
Arkansas +6, neutral site against A&M. Akron laying 2.5. against Buffalo. I really like that one. I think DJ Irons, the quarterback for Akron, is going to be an issue for Buffalo. Maryland -14 against Indiana. They can't keep pace with that passing attack. Houston, Texas Tech -50.5. Tyler Shuff is out. The backup cannot perform. Houston is not a good offensive team this year. 50.5. Going to take Louisville, LSU on the road -2.5. going to go Georgia Southern minus 6.5 versus Coastal. Coastal Carolina's offense is not what it used to be after losing Jamie Chadwell. Going to back the Gamecocks plus 12.5 at Rocky Top.
Hey.
Georgia State minus 1.5 versus Troy. I think their offense is going to be an issue. And I think that's about it. We've hit on everything else.
Y'all co-sign that Georgia Southern minus 6.5 as well. I like Georgia Southern, played them this week too. That offense is a problem.
They're good.
Okay, boys. There it is. Lots of good information. It's that time of the week. Coming up on 2:30 on the West. What is that? 4:30? No, 5:30 on the East. Time to run the board. Week 4 in the NFL. Coming next here, Sharp Money.